No better music than to bring in this segment with our next guest. We welcome the great and powerful Pete Weber to the program here on Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Pete, how's it going, my friend? I think we've lost Pete.
The music was still awesome, though.
He's there. There's Pete. Pete, are you there?
I can't miss on Brass Bonanza.
Exactly. That's why he was just too busy singing, Joe. That's what Pete loves Brass Bonanza.
Pete has been sharing some really excellent
time
audio
ops.
Clips with me.
Oh, has he?
In this pandemic time. So I want to thank you for that right off the top, Pete.
You're more than welcome.
So we can't share them on the air here today.
No, this would be probably only on podcast.
Yes, probably so. Pete, what have you been up to during the pandemic? What's been going on in the Weber household?
Oh, boy. Well, one thing, this is the first time in 10 years I haven't had to use an extension for my income taxes, so got those done. And trying to keep up with the news, and there's just so much of it, including, you know, what came out yesterday out of the Valley of the Sun in Glendale, Arizona, and what's going on with the Coyotes right now. And I don't think that's going to have an effect on the upcoming series that starts next Sunday afternoon. But it's been intriguing to follow all those things. There's so much news that comes out when there are no games, and that's what's just amazing to me.
Pete, what did you make of the Preds in their training camp? What were your takeaways that you had watching the Preds on the ice at Bridgestone Arena for the past couple weeks?
Yeah, watching them, number one, it did the heart good. I think we can say that for each and every person.
Amen.
Did the heart very, very well to be able to see that. And then seeing virtually everybody healthy. And then they had to make, I think, a few tough decisions for the 30-man roster before heading off yesterday for Edmonton. And we knew that after the David Ayers incident with the Carolina Hurricanes, teams would be taking as many goaltenders as they possibly could. So the two goaltenders who alternated play at Milwaukee, Connor Ingram and Troy Grosnick, are joining in with Pecorini and UC Saros as they headed up to Edmonton yesterday. I liked what I saw from the team. I liked what I saw from that team just before the pause button was hit. They had gone 9-4-1 in their last 14 games, and all the special teams concerns, last four games, 5 of 15 in the power play, and killed off all 15 power plays against.
I've only told my wife this. I'm gonna admit this to you guys. The first day back, like, I actually got a little bit emotional sitting there.
Yeah.
Like, we're sitting in an arena with other humans watching sports things
yeah.
happen. It was, that was. You're right. It was very cathartic, Pete. What about the lines and what John Hines has decided to do there? Did you anticipate that? And how do you think they look right now?
Well, in an abbreviated camp, I think if you can go with lines that have worked in the past, that is to say, the Joffe line, you come back with them. Bonino's line with Grimaldi and Smith. And then maybe the one that is going to draw the most interest is going to be Matt Duchene between Kyle Turris and Mikhail Granlund. I think we have seen those guys click before, and then we'll see what happens now as, well, first of all, with the exhibition game Thursday afternoon against the Dallas Stars. But you like to go with familiarity whenever you can. Now, if the familiarity doesn't produce, then you go back to the laboratory and start juggling things a little bit. On defense, I mean, here you have the top eight, and then they add Alexander Carrier just for a little bit of depth as well. But Yossi and Ellis, and let's all remember, Ryan Ellis was out for a significant time after the outdoor game at the Cotton Bowl in Dallas and then came back, and I thought came back pretty well. I guess maybe the biggest question about people coming back and their health will be, and that's why I was watching number 33. Excuse me, guys. I get choked up talking with you.
It's a very emotional show sometimes. We understand, Pete.
Yeah, it does get to be emotional. But how does Victor Arvidsson bounce back? Because I don't know that he really had during the course of the regular season after getting that double or triple massage from Bortuzzo in St. Louis back in November. So I think he looked, shall we say, let's go the old Englishman approach. I think he looked rather sprightly on the ice the last few weeks.
Pete, obviously this is a situation that none of us have ever dealt with before, but I'm curious from your vantage point, as you prepare for Edmonton, you're going to be calling these games remotely. What do you think that experience is going to be like for you?
I'm glad that I have had several dry runs in that regard, not knowing I was preparing for this. But I did a Nashville SC game last year that was in Indianapolis from the Fox 17 studios. Now, one difference between that and this is that they still had natural crowd noise to send in to me from Indianapolis for that particular soccer match. So at least I'm accustomed to calling things off a monitor that way. And I had done it many, many years ago for some other reason, and I think actually that was indoor soccer as well. That was, it's peculiar to be certain, but I've taken great pleasure in watching the baseball telecasts on ESPN and realized, for example, that last night Chipper Jones was at his home north of Atlanta. Boog Shambi was up in Bristol, Connecticut, and broadcasters who can't even see each other. They can see the game thanks to the monitors, and that causes more than a little bit. At least Hal Gill and I will be side by side downstairs at Bridgestone Arena, and down the hall the same will be the case with Willie and with Chris Mason.
Will there be anything beyond the broadcast? Like, will you get any other kind of feed? And then also, when you are doing a game, like how much are you sort of looking at the ice versus looking at the monitor, you know, in a normal game?
Quite a bit, as a matter of fact. I usually just try to call the game in all places except Edmonton, where you're so far away from the ice surface, using the naked eye, or the, in my case, my extra two eyes that I put on over my nose, and call the game in that fashion. We're going to have a conference call with the league broadcast department this afternoon. What we are getting is going to be an all 12, as we'll use the football terminology, they like the all 22 camera. We're going to get an all 12 so we can see the entire ice surface.
Oh, good.
In addition to the program feed. It might be distracting until we get totally accustomed to that for a while, but I think that's going to be a big, big help.
Pete, I was talking with Joe earlier in the show, and we mentioned, you know, in the regular season the struggles that Johansson and Duchesne had, Arvidsson at times battling through injury. It's hard for me to believe that all three of those guys are going to come back and struggle the same way they did at times in the regular season. How much of an opportunity could this pause and this reset be for those three guys specifically?
It's a marvelous one for them. And I think Victor's was all health-related. Ryan Johansson, I mean, from the very outset when it became clear there was going to be this return to play, he wants to redeem himself. And everybody has an opportunity here that is absolutely unprecedented. And obviously, how many times have we said this? And I'm probably going to say this too many times in the broadcast, but when you go to the postseason, it is a new season. Well, nothing has ever felt more like a new season than this is going to, beginning on Thursday afternoon.
All right, Coach Pete Weber, you are making the decision on goaltender. What are you doing?
Yep. I think I'm going to start Pekka. Just a hunch.
Really? Okay, you got to explain yourself now.
Well, the hunch would be, and I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but his career record against Arizona has been something special. As a matter of fact, when he got his first seven-year deal, that was signed the day before a game in Arizona, and he came up with a shutout that very next game. And you're saying, yeah, you know, that's a long time ago. But, no, he has played very well against Arizona, and you're going to need both goaltenders anyway. Maybe my feeling, my hunch is you do that by going with the veteran right away.
Ladies and gentlemen, the great Pete Weber has been our guest here on Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Pete, so great to talk to you again. I wish you the best of luck as broadcasts begin next week. And thank God we've got some sports to watch again.
Absolutely. And guys, it's great to hear you back on the air again as well.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me with you this morning.
Appreciate Thanks, you, Pete. One Take of the care. Best in the business, Pete Weber, ladies and gentlemen. It is going to be interesting from a guy. And look, Pete Weber, I'm convinced, could call any sport in like a phone booth if he really had to. But a guy that I know relies so much on just watching what he sees on the ice to be able to call a game remotely in this situation and have to adjust to the monitors and everything going on downstairs at Bridgestone Arena, that part of it, I think, is going to be really interesting.
And I bet you the listener doesn't detect a thing.
It won't be as great
and professional as always. I think that's huge that they get the all 12. I was wondering about that because sometimes you are – look, I mean, sometimes – the broadcast will mess something up, with the camera. I mean, and all of a sudden you don't know there's something down the other end of the ice you're not seeing. So having that at all times, that's a big deal for them. And I don't think there's a local broadcast team going to these bubbles.
No, I think it's all the same broadcast. Yeah. Like it's just a universal broadcast that every feed's getting.
So it's going to be different.
No question about it.
Maybe where things are going in the future more in general, but this is obviously different.
Different situation, no question about it. When we come back, we'll continue the Preds discussion. We'll get back into that conversation of Ryan Johansson, Matt Duchene, and Victor Arvidsson. What's it going to take for those three specifically to get back up to their optimum level? We'll talk about that next. This is Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game.